Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Here we are. My goodness. Thursday, the date is the 29th of March. Can you believe this? Did March just seem to fly by? I know people say that all the time, but honest to goodness, this is just getting ridiculous. Yes, Thursday, March the 29th, the day that we're doing this show. If you hear it in the archives, I'm sorry. I'm trying to make it immediate for the folks who are listening at this present time, but you know what? The music that you're going to hear today is going to be timeless, that's for sure. Oh, boy, and do we have a surprise for you. Not only Drew Davidson coming up at the third and last hour of the show today, our hometown hero in Baltimore, to be sure. It'll be like old home week. Drew and I have known each other for a few years now, and when I first met him, he was a far different person than the Drew that you see everywhere these days. 60 pounds lighter, as a matter of fact, and much shorter hair. We'll have to talk about that. On top of Drew being here later on during the show, I just got confirmation last night that Pat Bianchi is going to be with us next hour. I am just so tickled about that. You have no idea. He's not going to be able to spend a whole lot of time with us, and that's okay. He's very busy. He's at Burke's this week, and we'll hear all about it. Let's start off the show with something classic, as we like to do. This is John Coltrane, Blue Train, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
Thank you. some air into this room. I think I'm almost choking from the smell of stale perfume. That cigarette you're smoking's about to scare me half to death. Open up the windows and let me catch my breath. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. Mama said that ain't no way to have fun.
So funny. Rosanna Vitro, Mama Told Me Not to Come. From the music of Randy Newman, a Grammy-nominated CD, by the way. And you might remember back in the day, how many years ago now? My goodness, Three Dog Night doing that song. Shoo! Made some money for Randy Newman. And I'm telling you, with Rosanna doing all these songs, and they are gems from Randy. He's making some more. Bless her heart. Now, it's interesting. You know, Rosanna Vitro is such a wonderful talent. Jazz ambassador for the United States, too, by the way. On that particular CD, Mark Soskin, Dean Johnson, Sarah Caswell, Tim Horner, Steve Cardenas, and Jamie Haddad. Rosanna is a real pistol as far as what she writes on Facebook. She is a great, lively spirit, and she was asking people a few weeks ago what she should do because she was shopping for a new car. So each of us had this input, and she finally chose, I believe it's a Ford, but it's a blue car. So I was thinking of Rosanna's new blue car because I saw it on her page. And then I was just thinking of John Coltrane, Blue Train. I was thinking of the Blue Note. And I was just thinking of the color blue, and it just tied in because I wanted to play some songs together. So here we are. Before we heard Roy Hargrove, and he did Everybody Wants to Be a Cat from Disney Jazz Volume 1, just released last year. Well, he just got finished playing the Blue Note in Tokyo. And then, of course, it's obvious, John Coltrane, Blue Train, the only album that he did for the Blue Note record label. So I'm thinking, wow, I really have to pay attention to the color blue. So there you go. It was a little triumvirate in blue for you. Back to Rosanna. She's going to be April the 7th at, Mark Gross and the New Jersey University Big Band. If you go to rosannavitro.com, you'll find out more. She's always doing her teaching thing and mentoring, and she's really excited for these gigs when she can really play full out. So that is one of them. Exciting news on Facebook, too, if you're a friend of hers. Roy Hargrove, he loves this song, by the way. I just saw a video this morning where he was talking about how he relates to Everybody Wants to Be a Cat and started singing a little bit. He's much better on trumpet, I assure you. Now, on that particular compilation, Disney Jazz Volume 1, is Dave Brubeck, no stranger to covering Disney back in 1957. You might have known about a CD called Dave Digs Disney. And on it, Someday My Prince Will Come, which he covers on this particular compilation from last year, too. John Coltrane, Paul Chambers on double bass, Kenny Drew on piano, Curtis Fuller playing the trombone, Philly Joe Jones on drums, Lee Morgan on trumpet, Coltrane on saxophone. All originals on the Blue Train album except for I'm Old Fashioned, and the cover art, if you get a hold of it, was inspired by Picasso's Blue Period, and Train was a big, big fan of Picasso's avant-garde material, so it's really cool to find out the inspiration for the album, which, by the way, apparently was John Coltrane's favorite solo work. Blue Train, just amazing. Pat Bianchi on organ is amazing. He's joining us at the top of next hour, and then Drew Davidson coming your way at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Coming up for you, Pieces of a Dream. Also, Kirk Whalum and Kevin Whalum. Just so you know, Kirk Whalum's going to be on Cool Jazz Conversations with Joy Hall and myself this coming Monday, so look forward to that. And now, look forward to something else. How about if we dip back, since we were already in 1957 with Train, let's go to 1965 with Herbie Hancock and Maiden Voyage on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
If there's a moon up above, wonderful, oh wonderful, in every way, so they say.
Just love that little whistle in the background there. That's sort of what I was doing yesterday, listening to Romance Language, by the way, by the Whalen Brothers. Hearing Kevin's vocal there put me in a frame of mind. It was all I could do not to hurt some of the men last night at the club. I'm just kidding. Oh, my gosh. I mean, he puts you in his zone. I had to say that on Facebook, and Kevin wrote and he said, thank you, Trish. Seriously, that is some kind of project there. And, you know, I'm going to have to find out from Kirk on Monday on Cool Jazz Conversations what he had in mind, because there are some interesting songs that don't necessarily go together on the CD, but it all works out just right. They Say It's Wonderful is the name of that song. Man, that is as old as the hills, almost as old as me. No, it's even older, but man, they have this little spin on it, especially with that whistle at the end. Phew! Just so you know, folks in the area, this is just so cool. It's always a revelation when I go to Kirk Whalum's website and see what's happening with him. Of course, he's pretty much based when he can be, when he's in Memphis, at the Stax Museum, which is just as natural as breathing for Kirk Whalum to be at Stax. He needs to be there. He is going to be at the Cap Jazz Fest in June. We're so excited about that. On the same day, and of course, Joy Hall's world is made because that same day, Huge Groove and Cindy Bradley. Oh my gracious, yeah. It's going to be some kind of day. And then next day, Kirk and Kevin are going to be at the Preserve Jazz Fest outside of Birmingham with our good friend Eric Essex. That's going to be a treat. Then Kirk and Kevin are going to go to South Africa and Ghana. I am so tickled about this. Can't wait to ask. We'll fill you in more on Monday night on CJC. Pieces of a Dream, we heard. Oh, did we ever. Ahead to the Past from some years back, featuring, the originals, James Lloyd, Cedric Napoleon, and Curtis Harmon. Met in Philly in junior high. It's just such a treat to know that Pieces of a Dream is a Philly group, but it's not quite the same. James Lloyd is now living in Youngstown, Ohio, and he married a gal from the area. So Pieces of a Dream is going to be at Jerry B's Youngstown Jazz Fest happening in the next couple of months. We'll keep you posted about that for sure. You heard Jerry B talk about that last week. He is very excited. He put this Jazz Fest together. On that particular track and on the CD, Ahead to the Past, and on the track specifically, Malibu Nights, which is from my friend Linda, listening in from California today from the Boo. That was Eddie Backus Jr. on saxophone. Woo! We are so proud of Eddie. No longer living in Ohio, but living in the Baltimore, Washington extended area. He's on the Tom Joyner cruise. He's posting some pictures on Facebook. I love the one he took with Reverend Al Sharpton. Man, he is having a good time. Posted a picture with Ronnie Laws, too, and hopefully we'll get to a Ronnie Laws track during the show. We heard also from Herbie Hancock, 1965, from Maiden Voyage, his fifth album. And he did that song again on Dedication in 1974 and on 1988's Perfect Machine. But that was the original, that oceanic conceptual album that just stirred everybody's soul. Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, George Coleman on tenor sax, Tony Williams on drums, Ron Carter, God bless him, on bass. That song, the work, received a Grammy Hall of Fame Award in 1999 on Blue Note Records, I'll have you know. So the color theme continues. Woo, we're going to get Pat Bianchi on the phone at the top of the hour, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, we've got about 10 minutes or so. So how about if we get to a couple of songs? And one of them, just because I had in mind a more or less contemporary sort of back-to-back scenario for you later on during the show, I wanted to make sure I get my straight-ahead cats in the mix as much as possible. And since it was the memory of Thad Jones's birthday yesterday, 3/23/1923 to August 21st, 1986, just an amazing self-taught trumpeter, composer, bandleader, teacher. This is going back to 1956 from Detroit, New York Junction. This is, what's the name of the song, Trish? Blue Room. Had to do it. On a Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Woo! Enjoy this. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
In my life, guess you could call it a twist of fate. Yeah, it happened right before my eyes.
Guest on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy doing her thing. Never say never. Thought that was especially fitting to play today. It's a very thoughtful song from Debbie's album In the Midst of Love. If you need to get a hold of that, you can. I am told by manager Matt that you can go to a mailing situation, darkmanne, M-A-N-N-E, at gmail.com. And actually, that's D-A-R-K-E-M-A-N-N-E at gmail.com to find out where you can get a hold of that. A very, very cool compilation. We heard, too, from Thad Jones right before, and I'll tell you more about Thad Jones and Debbie Poole after we check in with someone that we are really looking forward to speaking to. Let me tell you a little bit about this gentleman, okay? I don't know where he has the time to do anything, honestly, because he has been working. If he's not doing the Pat Martino Trio or the Lou Donaldson Quartet or working with Tim Warfield or Ralph Peterson Jr. or his own trio or Chuck Loeb, where he is this week at Burke's Jazz Fest, he's probably sleeping because, honestly, that's how good of an organist this man is. If you haven't heard Pat Bianchi, I'm going to let you hear him speak now, and then we'll hear him play afterwards. Pat, how are you?
Good. How about yourself?
I am really tickled. I'm fabulous now that you had the few minutes to spare. What are you doing this week at Burke's? You've played a couple of times, or you will have played a couple of times by the end of the week, right?
Yeah, I actually played Tuesday night with, the amazing Pat Martino. It was an incredible night. And, you know, Chuck Loeb actually sat in with us well, which was a blast.
Wow.
Two of the finest guitar players I've gotten to work with. So.
Yeah, and how did this all happen for you, Pat? Because you used to live in Denver, then you came to New York. Now, was it a matter of you getting work before you left Denver, or everything happened when you came to New York?
Well, I mean, when I was in Denver, both my wife and I, we had saved some money, before we came here. And, I was lucky enough to be teaching at the University of Colorado Boulder. So we were able to, kind of get a nest egg happening. And then we moved here. And then it took a little while to get going and meet some people. But, Lou Donaldson, started hiring me again after a few months. And I began to work with Lou regularly, then play around the city. I had worked with Tim Warfield before and actually recorded a record with him while I was still living in Colorado, the One for Shirley record.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
I mean, I had little connections here and there, and it took a little time to get things rolling, but, they've seen things have picked up a lot, and I'm staying quite busy now, so.
Well, when you say things have picked up a lot, let me assure those who are listening, East Coast Roots back in 2007, very highly respected. Back Home, the CD from 2010, one of the top 15 releases from Jazz Week for over 8 weeks. So, Mr. Humility, I just want to point out to you that you are hotter than a firecracker in July. I mean, your work, where did you get the interest and the passion to play with such absolute joy?
Well, I think, music, I started playing at a very young age. I started at 5 or 6 years old, I don't remember. And it's always been something that I've really enjoyed, it was always fun. And, I started with organ, and my parents switched me to classical piano, which I didn't like as much, to be quite honest. It was kind of a chore to get myself to practice classical and do my Bach and Chopin and whatnot. But, that kind of moved me into playing. I started doing gigs when I was 13, 14 years old. So my father's a musician, as are both my grandfathers, so I would play with their bands, big band kind of music, things like that. And, kept with the jazz piano thing, and then I think when I was 16 or 17, I got Joey DeFrancesco's Live at the Five Spot CD for Christmas, and that just floored me, and that was, I wanted to play organ after that. That was just, chasing that thing after I heard that CD. So, that was probably the catalyst just to kind of keep pushing and pushing, whatnot. So, it's been a great thing, though.
And isn't it something, Pat, I mean, do you feel like you are one of the more blessed individuals on earth? Here was somebody that was the catalyst for turning you on to organ. And you were a part of Joey DeFrancesco's Grammy-nominated Never Can Say Goodbye CD, a Michael Jackson tribute. Isn't that the coolest thing ever?
I mean, that's incredible. I mean, you know, it's very surreal, in fact, you know, I mean, because I actually spent maybe a year and a half working with his band as a trio. I was playing keyboards and occasionally, you know, organ, you know, with him, or we'd do a dueling organ tune, but primarily the keyboards. But, I mean, it was just to work with my hero and a mentor, you know, and then on top of that all, you know, he's one of my closest friends, you know, as well. So to have all that, that's pretty incredible, I think.
Man, you are not kidding. And let me assure folks, it's not only the amazing Joey DeFrancesco who got a hold of Pat, but you have worked with, besides all the folks that I've just named who wanted you to be part of their scenario, their band, George Benson has taken notice of you, David Fathead Newman, Chuck Loeb. Let me tell you something. Pat, when he was on the show with me a few weeks ago, he could not sing your praises enough.
Oh, that's very kind of him. He's a really great friend, you know, too. You know, an amazing musician, so that really means a lot.
And the chemistry, you know, you can talk till you're blue in the face about, you know, the workmanship that you have with an individual, but until it displays the kind of chemistry that you and Chuck have on Plain and Simple, holy cow, that was mind-blowing. That must have been a gas to work on.
That was a lot of fun. I mean, in a sense, at first it was kind of intimidating. I mean, because Chuck is a legendary musician. I mean, he has done so much in music in general and so well known and respected. And, you know, Harvey Mason, same thing. He's amazing, you know, legendary drummer, you know. So in a sense, coming in at first and not really knowing these guys too well and not really having played a lot and record the record, there was an element of being kind of nervous and it was a little bit nerve-wracking. But what's really developed, you know, especially playing with, you know, between Chuck and I and playing over the past year, you know, it's really grown into, you know, some really neat musical dialogue and, you know, camaraderie on the bandstand and just having fun at the same time. So it's become a really cool thing.
And you are working with my heart because I'm a Philly girl, so I know all about Pat Martino. Pat is just legendary, and how many times, we're based in Baltimore, how many times have I heard from guitar players, and we've got some formidable folks in this area, Baltimore, D.C., who absolutely revere Pat, and he wanted you to be with him, and I can just imagine that kind of chemistry. How long have you been with Pat?
I've been with Pat probably just over a year, actually, right now. Maybe I'm getting close to a year and a half. And, I mean, it's been a learning experience. I've learned so much, you know, from him, you know, on the bandstand and off the bandstand. I mean, especially, you know, as time goes on, there's fewer and fewer musicians that were, you know, back, you know, playing back in the 50s and 60s, you know, and playing amongst, you know, all when everything was really happening, you know, not that it's not happening now, but like playing with Sylvester, knowing Train, playing with Elvin, knowing and working with Don Patterson and playing with these kind of musicians who were there during like some of the heyday of some of the stuff. It's a huge education for me.
Not to mention, you know, his, what happened with him having lost his memory and then having to gain all of it back, but he did. He had to put the pieces of his life back together. So I would imagine that sometimes when you're around Pat Martino, it feels as though you have a connection with heaven or something, because here's a man who, by all rights, maybe wasn't supposed to be with us, and he just defied death. So I love that about him.
Yeah, and it's been on more than one occasion in his life that he's defied it, basically. You know, he's had a couple of, you know, incidents, I guess, or, you know, things. So, I mean, he just keeps going and, you know, perseveres and, you know, is just better than ever now.
That's good to hear. It really is. And I'm not going to keep you too long. You tell us what's going to be happening at Burke's this week, because lots of people I know are going up for the second week through the weekend. So tell me.
I'll be playing on Saturday night, I believe. It's at the Jazz Space, I think, with Chuck Loeb, you know, Plain and Simple Band, featuring myself and Lionel Cordue and saxophonist Andy Sitzer. And I think there's going to be a couple other guests as well. But I think it's going to be a great time. You know, it should be a lot of fun. It's a really fun band. We've been touring, and it's been great. So it'll be a great show, definitely, on Saturday.
Guess who else is going to be there for those two shows? It's Rick Braun.
Oh, wow. Well, that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. And it's really cool because Chuck is based in New York, and you're in New York, and Rick is an Allentown guy. So it's like home turf, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that'd be a great show for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time. I know that you need to scoot, and I appreciate you, and maybe sometime you can hang out and spend close to an hour with me so we can play a few tracks from you. And you tell Chuck and Rick that we send our love, and I wish you the best. I think you're going to have the best, Pat. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. It's very kind of you. Well, it was really a pleasure to get to talk to you, and we'll definitely do it again soon. You know, we're a little elongated, so.
That's wonderful. God bless you, Pat Bianchi. God bless. Have a great time. I might see you there in at Berks.
Great. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Wow, let me tell you something about this guy. You know, and I'm just going to let you hear him play. You heard a little taste of it when Chuck Loeb was on with me a few weeks ago. But this is one of the rising stars of jazz organ. You know, Greg Hatze and I were just talking about this the other day. Greg got re-inspired to play music, to play the organ the way he wanted to play it because who's the name that we have in common here? Joey DeFrancesco said to him, look, I think that there's a resurgence. I think you need to play. So why don't you think about getting back in the swing of things? Greg Hatze did. He's playing tonight at Berks at the Jazz Bass. That's Gerald Veasley's club. And then Saturday, Pat Bianchi is going to join these amazing performers, Chuck Loeb's show from Plain and Simple, including Rick Braun and Andy Snitzer and Carmen and Lizzie. It's just going to be wild. Two shows at the Jazz Bass on Saturday. But I'm going to give you a little taste, maybe a couple of little tastes, of what Pat Bianchi is all about. First one, Chuck Loeb's Plain and Simple CD. This is Organ Elliptic on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Choo! Check this out. Thank you.
give you consolation. Down. Hey,
No, really, Eric, thank you. Woo, Lord, have mercy. Was that choice? My goodness, the whole album is just a treat. This time last year, Wynton Marsalis and Eric Clapton were doing their thing at Jazz at Lincoln Center, making use of some of the world's best musicians, backing them up on Plays the Blues. Wynton Marsalis and Eric Clapton, Play the Blues. Amazing. Eric Clapton picked the songs, Wynton Marsalis arranged, and it was just this New Orleans ice cream flavored treat from start to finish. And that particular song, I know some people when it first came out said, well, did we have to hear another version of Layla? Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Because that was requested by Lincoln Center Orchestra bassist Carlos Enriquez. And Wynton thought it was a great idea to make it into this Crescent City dirge swing number. And Eric had the time of his life because he usually doesn't talk when he's on the concert stage. He lets the music speak for him, but he felt certainly obliged. And Wynton had been after him for a while to do this. And Eric was real forthcoming. If you see a video, there is one floating around about Eric talking to the audience about, through the years, talking to blues musicians and how he thinks of jazz. And how he reveres the genre. And for him to approach the kind of musicianship he would have with Wynton and these amazing artists on stage there at Lincoln Center, he just was too thrilled for words. And I'm thrilled to tell you that tomorrow is Eric Clapton's birthday. It's just a little hard for some of us to realize, but he will be 67. Isn't that something? Yeah. Happy birthday, Eric Clapton. Long may you rock, or long may you play. That's better, because I think he's in a whole different mindset now. We heard, too, from Pat Bianchi, Hammerhead, woohoo, from his CD Back Home from 2010. And, man, we heard Organoleptic from Chuck Loeb's Plain and Simple CD with Pat playing that organ. On Pat's track, Gilad Hexelman on guitar, that fabulous Israeli to New York guitarist that we have talked about and played, Terrell Stafford on trumpet, Wayne Escoffery on tenor sax, Carmen Antore, and Ralph Peterson doing drums, and hopefully we'll have Pat Bianchi on again, and he'll extend his time and we can play some more music. Hope you really dug that. And I'm digging this. Drew Davidson is going to be here at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, so it's about 20 minutes away. And I was just feeling the vibe of Drew, because Drew is just such a bundle of joy. He really is. So I wanted to play some songs that would kind of express that joy a little bit. And I know that he thinks the world of David Dyson, who's one of the premier people that we know who plays bass. Woo! So I'm going to have a little surprise for you, apart from the fact that you heard Eric and Wynton, something else that I would normally not play during Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, but it just lent itself to the joy that we want to project, because life has been a little tough and the news is really overwhelming, so we have to balance the whole situation out. And now David Dyson's going to help us out with the color situation, because we've been dwelling on blue, but now it's gray's turn. This is the Gray Zone from David's Unleashed CD on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. The balm for our existence. Exactly what we needed to hear today is Drew Davidson and Spin Cycle. Oh my gosh. Woohoo! It just says spring out there. I'm just going to go through quickly because Mr. D is on the line with us. I have to tell you that I did stretch the boundaries of Hybrid just a bit by playing the Allman Brothers and Revival. But I really did get inspired by Drew being on the show today, so I wanted to play something that would give us hope because we've been in such tricky circumstances with our emotions these days, and you know what I'm talking about. Allman Brothers right there, and we also heard Greg Adams, The Getaway from East Bay Soul, 2.0. My God, that is such a fabulous tune, The Getaway. Just so you know, Greg is going to be at the Temecula Wine and Music Festival in Seal Beach on the 28th of April, so you know where to go. He will hopefully be on the show very soon. And we also heard from David Dyson, The Gray Zone, from his Unleashed CD. And by the way, David Dyson's birthday is coming up in April, early, the day before my son's. And secondly, he will be, as a matter of fact, he was with Pieces of a Dream this morning, recording some new work. And he'll be with Pieces of a Dream at the Youngstown Jazz Festival coming up in just a couple of months from now. But let me draw your attention to this gentleman here. Now, when I first met Drew, Drew had come with the Richard Walton Group to play at WSMJ's Smooth Jazz Brunch, okay? So I'm thinking to myself, wow, this guy is a trip. He was just a little chubby guy with long hair that he had pulled back in a ponytail, and he was going, yeah, well, Trish, you know, I want to tell you about my music because I listen to the station all the time, ragga, 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 on and on and on he went, and I went, wow, he's the Energizer Bunny. Well, shoot now to 2012 when last I saw Drew Davidson, and I have seen him several times since. We have done this situation a time or two, this interview scenario, but he was at the Berks Jazz Festival last Friday, and he was surrounded by all the ladies in jazz and pink. And who was front and center in that photograph? It was Drew Davidson. Thank you so much. So, and I want to tell you that Drew, through biking and sheer discipline and the will of God implanted in his heart, lost 60 pounds. He cut his hair. Now, how well, everybody in the chat room, and there's all your friends there, Drew, including Debbie Poole and Matt Williams and Linda and Griselda and Yolanda. It goes on. You are just doing what you should be doing right now, are you not?
Yes, ma'am. You know, everybody is born to do something. I really believe that God gives us gifts, and once we figure out what that is, then our job is to join him in the work and do that. Whatever it is, humility is accepting the role God gave you. For me, that's smooth jazz. That's doing it right, you know, not doing it, you know, half-assed, you know, really doing it, whatever that means. So, yes, ma'am.
Look at you being so decisive in everything. Did you ever think that you would have achieved this much in the time that you have been doing this?
You know, I think I knew in my naval experience when I was baptized in the Jordan River, I knew because, you know, God gave me this big vision. But then, you know, fast forward after that to 1997 when I'm working in the warehouse on the night shift, 70 hours a week, I might have started to have some disbelief then. You know, and I asked them to go on the day work so I could play with Richard more. And you know, sometimes you doubt because you go through a valley and a dip. But I think we have to go through those because they're tests.
Yeah.
You know, do you really believe? You know, and sometimes we have to do a thing so we have respect for those people who do. I mean, I know what it is to work 70, 80 hours a week unloading watermelons. So I have respect for the guy at the grocery store who does that or gives that to me. You know, I think we learn when we do that, so.
And you have never given up. You are one of my poster children for never giving up. And folks don't necessarily know who are in the chat room right now, but Drew was in Operation Desert Storm. He was an underwater weapons tech on the USS Hancock. And this is what he did. Now, he dabbled in music when you were young, but you got a fire in your belly because you heard George Benson. So you were in Bahrain. You got an electric guitar and a small amp, and you worked your little fingers to the bone, and then everybody on the ship came to see you play.
Yeah, it was. We had a steel beach picnic on the back. One of the first tunes I learned was Whiskey Before Breakfast. Three of us learned this tune and played it in the ship's talent show. And I studied this George Benson breathing cassette. I put that in, and I was so mesmerized by his tone. I just spent hours figuring out, during a war. I mean, there was a war going on, and I was learning guitar at the same time. So when people tell me they don't have time for a thing, I'm sometimes short or cross with them because I don't like excuses. If you're going to do a thing, do it. If not, get off the bot. I mean, that may sound harsh, but that's what you have to do these days. And we're so fortunate here, unlike some of these other countries, where they can't do these things. So for us to even complain, I just think, oh, no. I mean, we don't have to travel 6 hours to get water, you know. I mean, we have it easy here, so, yep.
You are absolutely right about that. I You're preaching to the choir here, because I always tell people when they're looking at things half empty as opposed to half full, understand that if you have any semblance of a roof over your head and a gift that you need to share, and you have three meals a day, that glass is full. It's not half anything.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we're. What's really exciting is we just got plane tickets. I'm going this summer to Ghana for probably about a week and a half, and I'm going to go over there to see a village that I support. And I've been wanting to go there for a long time, and we're going to do that now. I'm going to take a guitar over there and sing with the children and do this and that. But it's, I know that when I go and I see it, because I've seen photos of it, when I see that there's no color, there's so poor they don't have color, it'll just give me another sense of the world, like the Navy did when I went over to Egypt and all those places, and I saw some of the poverty and some of the different ways, you know, for example, women are treated over there. It gave me a whole other level of respect for, you know,
yeah.
We don't have it perfect here, but I'm thinking we got it pretty good. I mean, they do stuff over there that we would think incomprehensible, and to them it's everyday life. They just, that's
yeah.
what they do. And it's like, oh, okay. I mean, so,
let's explain to folks how you got involved in Ghanaian Mother's Hope, because this is a very big deal, Drew.
Yeah, this is really exciting. They now are celebrating 6 years as a nonprofit. They're United Way funded now. They empower the future leaders of Africa is their big mission statement. And they started with the preschools. When the young children can go to school, then the older children can go to the preschool, and then the older children can go to their school. And it's a trickle-up effect instead of a trickle-down effect. And it started with my mother's best friend, who lost her husband and her mom in the same year, came into money and decided to start this ministry. And then I guess about 4 years ago, we made the determination to donate 10% or whatever, you know, a certain percentage of all music sales and gig money and income that come in. So we just, I mean, we and a dollar goes a long way over there, six times further than what it does here. So we've been doing that. It's really exciting. And I'm finally going to go over there and see the village. I've met some of the people from there that have come here, but it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to going and seeing that. So it's something I tell artists is that your mission's got to be bigger than you. You know, when you look at like Kirk Whalum every day with another like podcast scripture on his site, I mean, he's got so many cool things going on. And when you look at Lee Ritenour and Six String Theory, and he's given away Berkeley scholarships, I mean, these artists have figured it out. It's got to be bigger than them. When we're concerned about just little old us and where we are on the charts, we miss out on so many other opportunities to do things. So I'm just excited about, you know, seeing what's going to happen when I go over there.
I'm just so proud of you, Drew. It's almost not my right to say, but I really am, because you are faithful to what you've just said. God continually blesses you time after time. And I know you probably can't even speak about what your mom was alluding to when I saw her.
I can speak about some things. I just got an interesting email from a fan who was at Brooks, who had a long conversation with the head of that festival. So
really?
It looks like Drew and his band will probably be there next year. I mean, yeah, that's a very high, I would say 98% probability that they'll have us there. You know, I mean, so there's, yeah, I mean, you have to stick by your convictions, you know, and hopefully they're good ones. And then you just have to trust for the provision. So, but I can speak about, they gave me a little thing I'm allowed to say, you know, about
okay.
what Anita was talking to you about, so.
Oh, okay. You want to share that? Because,
yeah,
I mean,
well,
your
well,
mom
okay.
was so excited.
Here's what happened.
Okay.
Well, I was recording Spin Cycle. I'm a big Pat Metheny fan. And I'll try to tell the story pretty shortly. But I had
That's
a tune
okay.
called One for Pat that was supposed to go on the Spin Cycle album. And I couldn't figure out how to do with it because we changed one bass note, and it just made the whole song different. And I really was having a hard time recording it, so it never made it on there. In place of it went Drew's Blues, basically, went on there instead of that. My producer wrote that song. And so I was left with this lone tune, and about a couple weeks ago I went to Nashville to record guitars on it. I finally now got figured out what I'm going to do on it. I'm actually going to sing on it, too, of all things, in the chorus.
Really?
Very cool. Yeah, it's very cool what we're doing. The vocal has changed the whole thing. Just in the chorus, I have this line, and the tune is now called My Guitar. And it worked out to where I was able to do a feature with it with all of my Carbon guitars. So I lacquered it up with this new guitar endorsement I have, and I'm working on something with them and a video. It's going to be very cool. that's coming out. So I had one tune, and we were prepared to just release one tune in a singles market. We were going to do that. Well, my mom, God bless her, she's like my huge supporter of me. She's out there and meets a guy on the internet from Chicago who's got a concert company. And we were we just came back from Pensacola with a huge group, had a great show down there, and we had determined that we were not going to covet what anybody else had. We liked what we were doing. We were fine with that. Let's just do more of that. Well, we start talking with this guy from Chicago, Tony, and then he starts describing a guitar player that he's good friends with. And my mother says, I hope that's George Benson. He says, well, it is. He's an old friend of mine. He says,
have
to meet him sometime and all this. Well, that goes into why I was hanging out with him at Burke's a little bit. But so it's escalated, and we will be going to Chicago to sign with Tony, and he's connected us with a producer. Now, I'm just going to tell you a few of the artists this producer's worked with. And I just learned at Burke's that he wrote Walter Beasley's first number one hit. But
wow.
He worked with George Benson, Aretha Franklin, Michael Bolton, Kenny G. Songbird, Who's Human Who. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. His name is Preston Glass, and he and Drew are now collaborating on the next record together, along with my producer and Eric Copeland. So it'll be the three of us on there.
Oh, Drew, that's fabulous.
Yeah, it's
going to
be great. Preston is, I mean, he's, when you check him out on the internet, it's so amazing. Some of the songs he's been, and he talks about Kenny G and Songbird. The label was about to drop him because he had two singles that didn't do well, and then Kenny put his own money sort of behind Songbird. And he and Preston had helped do some of the writing and producing on that. And we all know the story of Songbird. I mean, that's his signature big song. So I think that's just the testimony to believing in what you know. So I'm really excited about working with Preston. He sent over a couple tracks for me to play on, a Michael Jackson tune. It's going to be very cool what we're doing. Another one that he and I wrote together. And just expanding my horizons. And he's fantastic. He wrote for George Benson. I'm trying to think who else. I mean, the list is just... Earth, Wind, and Fire he's worked with. I mean, so that's going to be really, really exciting. And I'm still maintaining my Nashville connection because I absolutely love what Eric Copeland and I do. I'm not ready to, part that at all yet. But just testing the waters and having some fun with some new music. So now it's escalated into a whole new CD out of this one single. Tony says, you need a CD so that when it's time to say drop, we can say drop. And Tony's got huge vision, some CD out of Switzerland, that's got Santana on it. I don't know what he knows people in the industry because he's been in the business a long time. So that's our news. Very exciting.
That is absolutely wonderful. And I had to leave on Saturday. I was at Burke's, and if I saw your mom, I didn't see you because you were busy hanging. Did you get a chance to talk to George Benson?
Oh, yeah. We what happened was we went to his show. Ernesto was great, had some tickets for us, and we got in there. It was fantastic. All that worked out, when you're there, because you never know, you get busy or you bump into this person. But we were able to go backstage, and it was great. We were able to talk to him, and he was such a nice guy. I mean, his show was fantastic. I'm a huge Benson fan. So when he played, what was it, that solo piece he does, Danny Boy? Oh, I was just lapping it up, just soaking it in, taking notes and going, He's such a master. I mean, he's fantastic, So, Burke's Burke's is great. I mean, just even in the jam session was great. Friday night, having Gerald Beasley sing, Why Did Drew Take My Woman? I mean, that was... we were doing this blues, right? It was Gerald Beasley, myself, and Brian Bromberg. Bill Heller was on keyboards, and Richard Waller was on the drums, and Gerald says, let's do a blues in F. Close the night out, and Brian, would you come back up and play? So I'm like, okay, Brian and I know each other because we both endorse Carbon guitars, but it's the first time we played together. So I'm thinking, all right, this is going to be cool. So they do this blues, and I have the notion to sing because they're doing this whole Brian Bromberg funky blues. So I start singing about Brian Bromberg and the funky blues. And then we all take a round of solos, and Gerald decides he's going to sing Why Did Drew Take His Woman? I said, I love stuff like that in the moment. I mean, it was so...
Gerald is just such a trip. I mean, I didn't spend time with Gerald, but I got to spend time with Luther, and Luther was hanging out with your mom, so then I was hanging out with those two. Holy cow, Luther is just a joy to be around. Luther is, by the way, Gerald Beasley's manager, and just loves you to death, as you know.
Yeah, Luther is fantastic. He also works with Andrew New. And I'll leak this a little bit. There's been discussion between Andrew New and I about an album together.
That's no shock, because I know that you two have been in communication for a while.
Yeah,
and,
he recently got asked to be a sub for the Rippingtons occasionally.
Really?
So he's been excited about that. But I don't know if your listeners know, he travels with Bobby Caldwell now a bunch, and he plays with Diane Shore too, who is another
that he works
with a bunch.
And you know, I'm going to be anything that Andrew does, I'm going to be all about, because he's a Philly boy. So anybody who's from Philadelphia, I already have a little bit of high
regard for. Andrew's great. I mean, we played together. He invited me up to a gig up there once, and we tried it together and really liked it. And we met Luther a long time ago. Luther's fantastic. And about 20 minutes into our first time we met him, he said, "I believe I can help you." He said, "You seem like real genuine people." And Anita and Luther, they talk like once a week. Luther's just great. I mean, we feel like family. We pray for each other. You know, it's more than just the music side of it. But through Luther and through Burks, you know, knowing Gerald, and Gerald's been a big supporter too. He played on my first album and always been encouraging to me. So it's exciting. I mean, I think, you know, it's just fun to watch how all that unfolds.
It really is, and it's funny. Your mom, and by the way, for folks who don't know, we affectionately refer to Anita as Momager, because rarely, and as a matter of fact, Drew, I thought about you the other day, because who was it? Dee Dee Bridgewater calls her daughter a Doniger.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay, so you have these family members who are doing the managing, and
You do. The first person that greeted me was Marcus Benson, George Benson's son. I mean, he travels with his dad and takes care of all kinds of affairs, lives about 45 minutes away from him. When I reached out to Paul Jackson Jr. about playing on my Christmas album, his mother answered, Blanche. She said, "Yeah, he'll get to it. He's busy with The Tonight Show." You see families watching out for each other more and more in the independent world, and it's just, I mean, no one will take care of you like your family. So.
And you know what? That works when it's blood. I have found that it's a little tricky, Drew, when there's husbands and wives involved.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because there's a whole lot of, why are you in contact with my husband? What's the motivation? And it gets cloudy. But mom and son, son and father, any of these bloodlines, that really works out well. So Anita is Drew's mom, and she was such a hoot on Friday night, because she was patting Luther, and she said, "You know what, Luther is one of the only people who doesn't look at the phone when I'm calling and say, oh, I'm not going to answer it."
Yeah.
Luther is such a great guy.
Can't say enough about what his involvement with Drill Beasley and Jazz Bass and the bass boot camp, and just his knowledge from having been around. You know, and Luther's really had, I mean, his life has taken a turn. He had a heart attack some years ago and has been getting himself much better in shape again, so I'm always, when I see him, he looks so much better. And Luther will tell it like it is. I mean, if he doesn't like you, it's, you know, it's not that he doesn't not like anybody, but, you know, I love Luther. He always has these great wisdoms. He's almost like a second dad to me, or a grandfather. I don't know how to describe it. He's got so much wisdom when he talks to you about these stories, you know, little stories about, you know, the turtle never got anywhere without sticking his neck out, Drew, you know, or, you know, you have to pick the one who loves you. You know, when we were discussing management and stuff, and so I love Luther. Fantastic. I mean,
he's exactly right for you when he talks about the turtle analogy, because you have needed to take a series of chances. God knows that you were outspoken, because let me tell folks that Drew called me one day while I was on the air at WSMJ, as if I had any power at that time. I wasn't doing any programming, but he read me the riot act about not playing local artists, and I wanted to play local artists, and Drew,
and you were
one of the inspirations
really
for me doing this show.
Yeah, you were really trying to do that feature thing on there before the station went down, and I didn't know that, you know. I was just, like a lot of artists, you get frustrated, you don't understand. Now it's like, once you understand how it works, then you see, okay, this is really how it works. It's about how your music is presented, you know, how you come across it. Plus, you have to do this thing that I tell artists, which is die to self. And a lot of people don't understand what that means.
Yeah.
Drew, what do you mean you have to do that? You know, you have to sort of be okay with the portion that you have. I mean, there's so many things you have to do. By the way, here's another bit of cool news. You're not with the Richard Walton Group. I just tracked guitars for a song for their new album. They're doing one of the songs on my first CD, This Journey. They're doing a tune called A Long Way From Home, which I used to play with them, and I'm making a guest appearance on there.
Wait a minute, you're doing this with who?
Richard.
Richard Walton.
Yeah, I'm making a guest appearance on their new album. They're doing another album. They're in the studio. Dave, who plays sax with me, is doing some work with them. And he sent me over because they're cutting one of my tunes, just one that they liked that they used to do. So
that's
I just
great.
Did some guitars for them. In fact, Sunday night I did them. Got back from Burke's and was in the studio laying guitars for Richard and sent them to him. So that'll be exciting to be doing that again.
Well, you were with the Richard Walton Group for 12 years, and we had him on the show a couple of months back, and he just loves you so much, and he learned it was just a real nice chemistry that all of you had together, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it was like the Beatles. When Richard and I would write together, it was like Lennon and McCartney. We would just, at his old house, we would be up there listening to, like, Tommy Bolin or just some really interesting, like, Wild Dogs in the Night. I don't know what your listeners know about Tommy Bolin, but a fantastic guitar player, died way too young, was in the James Gang. He played on the Billy Cobham Spectrum album. Richard turned me on to so much wonderful music. And we would just write together and bring this crazy stuff to the band and then record it. And it was a good experience for me to be in a real working band that really rehearsed, that really played original music, that made CDs. So I got to see that side of it from Richard, and he was there when my father passed away. And I was there for Richard when, you know, he was going through stuff. So we just have maintained that friendship. And it's just exciting to see what they're doing, and I think he's excited to see what I'm doing, so it's great.
Yeah, he seems like I didn't get to know him as, of course, as well as I got to know you, but he seems to be the kind of person that once you're his friend for life.
Yeah, you are. I mean, we had our differences when I left. You know, they were not really sure, well, Drew, why are you leaving or what is? But I just knew that I had to do something more. And my horn player, Dave, who has been with me a long time, who I brought in that group, he was adamant, Drew, you've got to experience a new thing. So it's fine now. They've come and seen me play a couple times at Blues Alley and different places. You know, sometimes doing a hard choice, it's not easy. People don't understand why. Everybody doesn't understand. You know, even people that used to play with me that don't play with me now. Well, you know, how come or what? You know, I mean, but once you find some guys, like, the new guys I have from Baltimore, like Corey Baker and Craig Alton and Chris Rhodes, I mean, that's a bunch of young on stage. They're incredible.
Oh,
I mean,
yes,
the ladies
have
them.
Oh,
they play great music. They're fantastic. I mean, most people don't know Craig Alton as a keyboard player because they think of him as a straight-ahead jazz saxophonist, which it probably is his primary mission, but, man, he's a great musician. There isn't anything he can't play. And keyboard,
I love the guy.
He's incredible.
I always talk about these cats in Baltimore, and you know, I don't want to leave D.C. out, but I'm living in Baltimore, and we got to know these people that are based here. Gosh, people talk about what's happening in Baltimore jazz in Atlanta, in L.A., in New York. For a while, there were folks coming from New York to see if they could get gigs in Baltimore just to get that lean and hungry thing back.
Yeah. I mean, and that's exciting. That's really, really, really exciting. There's so many wonderful musicians here that I've had the pleasure of. And in fact, you know, when I was at Burke's, Ezell was up there playing.
Oh, wow.
He came up and sat in. Chris Rhodes came up and was up there with me doing some playing. I'm kind of getting him plugged in, letting him meet, you know, some of the other musicians. That's part of my mission, too. I mean, the guys know that. I've told them that. You know, for as long as we can, we're going to have one dressing room. You can all come in there with me. If I go to a VIP thing, you guys are all welcome to come. You know, just make sure to put on a nice shirt, what have you. I try to really share with the group and just really bring them in on stuff and just say, here's what's been presented to me, guys. Here's how it could benefit myself. Here's how it benefits you. And they understand all that, which, too, I love it. I mean, it's great. They're fantastic. Chris Rhodes, oh, what a great bass
Chris
player.
Chris Rhodes is great, and he looked like an absolute star on one of the pictures that I saw on Facebook when he was at Burke's. He was flying so high. I know Chris well enough to know when he was playing with you, over the weekend, because that's what it was, right? He was playing at the jazz bass, right?
Yeah, he came into the jam, and in the picture, he's wearing this great sport coat. And I told him, because he asked me, right, Friday night, he's like, what are you wearing, Drew? I was like, oh, I'm wearing a suit and a bow tie. That's what I wear when I go out. He goes, really? But it's a jam. And I text back, and I went, no offense, Chris, but this is Nazi salsa 347. This is Burks. There are cameras flying around. There are people coming. I mean, look at that picture of Jazz in Pink. It wouldn't have been any better if I'd have been wearing whatever. I mean, those people come into play. You know, and it's like, you know, Gail Johnson's looking over going, who's that guy with a bow tie? Wow. You know, she and I have been talking since then about doing some stuff. But so I was so, Saturday night when he came wearing that blue sport coat and that white shirt, I was like, now you're talking. You know, I mean.
Oh, my God. That really made an impression. And what did I just tell you the other day on Facebook? I wrote a little note to you and said, now you're playing with the people that you need to play with, because you were talking about those tough decisions. But, Drew, you know, you have to take care of your career and the steps for you to go where God's got you planted. You would know if God wanted you to stay back and play with folks that you've been playing with, but you're expanding your wings. You are flying. You have to go forward, not backward.
Yeah, at some point the bird has to get pushed out of the nest. I mean, and they have to either fly or they have to flop down. And so, yeah, it's exciting. And I still enjoy returning and playing with different people. The other night, you would have loved this. I went to play with Craig Alston and the Syndicate, which was a lot of fun. It was Trendle Thomas and Craig Alston. Corey Baker was playing bass this time, and Spider was playing drums. It was a little place, a little lounge. Craig, you know, was wanting me to come, but he really didn't have any big money to pay me, and I was like, don't worry about it. You know, we're friends. These are my guys who come and play with me. So I just showed up and played like 2 hours of fusion with him, and Trendle's going, oh, wow, I didn't know you had to do that. And I said, well, I don't do it much, but, you know, so I still like to hang around here and come out when I can, when it makes sense, you know, and
well,
visit my friends.
Well, you know what,
I
would tell Trendle, because Drew, and folks need to know this too, I mean, you had a pop trio for a while, you had a ska band, you were involved in R&B, you pretty much know how to do everything.
Just about. I'm doing a throwback to Van Halen on my new CD, so that'll be interesting. Well, in the end of this Michael Jackson tune, I thought, you know, since he had rockers playing with him, I'm like, I got to put a little some of that in there. I got to kind of bring that back to it, because a lot of people don't really realize that Michael Jackson was a rocker at heart. So, yeah, I had a lot of wonderful experiences. The ska band was fantastic, lived out of a van, opened a show for Dave Matthews years and years ago in a small club.
Oh, my gosh.
He wasn't even the headlining act. The headlining act was the Samples. This was the first time I heard Dave Matthews, and the violin player was crowd surfing, and they did this extended 22-minute version of Ants Marching with all this incredible jamming, and wow, this band is great. So, yeah, those are all part of your history. I played in an R&B band in Baltimore called Touch. We used to be the house band at Witten's. We did a bunch of shows with Bad and Panama and all those groups, so a lot of those people remember me from back then, playing songs like No Diggity and all sorts of interesting R&B tunes. And that's how you learn. I remember showing up to the gig, and my first gig with them, and the club owner was like, are you in the right neighborhood? You know, and I said, I'm in the band. You know, I was about like 25 years old. I came in there because I was first, and I set up, and one of the like, third tune we did, Tony's like, Drew, you want to play some blues? We started playing some blues, and the whole club erupted, and it was like, once they heard me play, they were like, okay, you're cool, man. What's up, you know? I could pretty much come in there any night of the week I wanted, but, you know. So, I mean, back then it was... it was just fun to play. Whoever was playing music, I would show up.
That's so cool. And, you know, I know that we had talked about some of these gigs in years past, but the last time that we did this interview scenario, it was in Harford County at the radio station there. And even with those few years that have gone by, there's been so much that has transpired. I mean, it's a pretty heavy-duty thing, Drew, when Guitar Player Magazine says that you are one of its 10 hottest guitar players that they can see. That's pretty cool. Are you there? Uh-oh. Uh-oh, what happened? Oh, we lost his connection. Let me see. Hello, who is this?
This is Drew.
Drew, we lost you for a second, huh?
Yeah, I know. Somehow we got hung up, and then I dialed again and pressed 1, hoping that it would beep through and something would work out.
Okay. Well, listen, I was just saying, even in the time that we last did an interview like this in the past couple of years, there's been a lot happening. This is pretty cool stuff. I mean, in refreshing my mind as far as what your background has been and then what has transpired with you in the past few years, that's pretty heavy stuff that Guitar Player Magazine would name you one of its 10 hottest guitar players.
Yeah, it was the readers' polls, and I later learned that some of the people who voted for me was really humbling. And there were 3 guitar players from Baltimore in that thing, which was great. Myself and a guy named Rob Tahan from a band called Ashes Remain, who have
pretty
big single now on WRBS. In fact, we play together at church sometimes. I see Rob, a fantastic rock guitar player, and a Wayne Thompson, who I used to work with at PRS Guitars, was another one that got nominated. So that was great to see 3 from Baltimore who play stylistically differently. But yeah, that was really humbling. And then Jazz Artist of the Year nomination from Oasis.
Yes.
And Smooth Jazz Awards, and that was huge. I mean, I was going up against like Cindy Bradley and Darren Ran.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, Dan Cipriano, Cindy Bradley's fiance, also spoke very well of you. We got to know each other a little bit, just got to meet him this past week, and he's going to do the show because he is a formidable saxophone player. I had no idea.
Yeah, he's fantastic. We're going to be hanging out together soon. We both have a mutual friend that's opening a restaurant in New York City called 78 Below. Through another friend I know in New York, and we've been talking about going there and having dinner and hanging out. And Cindy and I have been talking about doing some playing together, which
Wonderful.
Is exciting. Yeah, he's a great horn player. He's kind of more on the straight ahead edge side, but I like that. Hey, when you go to New York, let's play some of that. Let's get a samba going. And I mean, it's music for me, and that's what I'm really trying to get across on the next CD, is that there'll be some good old smooth jazz that Drew does, but there'll be some nice surprises for listeners. To go, okay,
I love to hear that, Drew.
That's, you know, because when you think about artists like Pat Metheny or like Keb Mo, I mean, I've been studying some Keb Mo lately, really been listening to some of what he's doing. I mean, it's just, it's about the guitar. I've had these conversations with Jason Miles before, you know, okay, Drew, you know, what about this and about that? So, I mean, I'm just going to explore what the guitar has to offer, and I'm just going to squawk it, you know.
Well, that's awesome. I'm tickled to hear. And I want to get to 2 more songs before our hour is over. You want to talk to me about Don't Delay?
Yeah. Here's the thing with the Don't Delay. Why? That track, I had been working on that in my studio and had this vision for a Benson vibe with a hip-hop groove. And then when I was in the studio, I had the idea about what if it was Benson meets Hendrix meets a hip-hop type groove. And we started tracking all these, like, rock guitars in the chorus, and that just turned out great for me. The drummer did that on the first take. I mean, he just listened to my demo and just went in there and played, and it was magical. And I said, okay, that's it, you know. So that's a really exciting tune to me. I played a lot of keyboards on there, and my producer added this great synth solo to it. So that's going to be our next tentative radio single that we're going to be pushing. And we're going to be pushing it internationally and in different places. So it's a special tune. It's called Don't Delay.
It's got a really cool groove. Here it is, Drew Davidson, our guest, and Don't Delay from Spin Cycle, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. that song. Woohoo! Don't delay.
Yeah.
Good advice from Spin Cycle. Drew, I got to tell you, past few days I was thinking about you being on the show, and I heard Carlos Santana and Santana's song, Oye Como Va, and I thought, you know, I can see you in that mode. And then last night, Rodney Kelly asked me to come to the Big Easy so that I could hear his little trip down memory lane with his musical history, and he was playing Hendrix, and I thought of you. You are going to be branching off in different directions. I mean, I know that you're going to always have your little home base, but there's so much music inside of you. Don't you see that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do too. And what would you like to see? Are you having any little dreams about what you would like to see unfold? I mean, I know that you're going to be at the Towson Town Festival, which is a big deal in April. And I know that you've got some gigs in mind this year, but what is the big picture for you? What would you like to see happen to your career?
A world domination.
Okay.
You know, really, you know, this, I get in trouble with this sometimes, but I always have the big vision. You know, my team is usually the realist and says, all right, let's talk about how to tackle that. But we're going to Chicago to probably most likely sign a management deal with a gentleman out there who here's a blast from the past. A blast from the past. Do you remember a group called the Floaters?
I do.
Yeah, well, this gentleman used to manage the Floaters years and years and years ago. He's been an industry legend for a long time, connected with everybody, and he's got big vision like mine, even bigger. So we're just going to shoot for the top. I mean, this is what I've been telling the festivals lately and the different promoters, some of who I like, some of who are okay, you know, whatever, they have their thing. Get me now while you can afford me. Because it's, you know,
exactly.
Yeah,
because I remember the days, Drew, when you used to play for pittances, and I used to think, oh my God, I hope he's not going to come to a jam again, because folks, if they're going to get it for free, they're not going to pay for you, and they should be paying for you. Thank God you came to that realization.
Well, and here's Tony's realization is that, Drew, you have to understand that you're about to move into the realm of, you're going to have a lot of people depending on you. And you're going to need to be, I mean, we've had serious conversations about, you know, what does this show look like? What does this show look like? So I know I have to be a good steward with what God has given me. And when I can, I like to go to a jam, build back into the community, but I'm not interested in jazz karaoke. So when I go somewhere and it's like, okay, really? I mean, you know, Craig and I have had these conversations. This might sound really bold, but I said to Craig Alston the other day, would it hurt somebody to like learn a tune from my record that went number one, so when I come into a jam, we can play that? Is it wrong for me to want that? And Craig said, well, Drew, you got to understand, you know, maybe you don't belong there anymore, you know. So I go occasionally when I can to support people that I have a heart for, like Jesse Powers. I have a big heart for him. I mean, he really, my first jam sessions were with Jesse and Larry Stewart's in 93. So I mean,
I love
supporting his jam sessions. I love playing with Dawood and Johnny, fantastic musicians. But, you know, there are times when I can't go to the jam session and just play the same Alicia Keys tune over and over again or whatever. It's like, I don't really want to do that anymore. You know, kind of want to be more musical about it. So, yeah, I would say sky's the limit as to where I see going. That Santana thing, I mean, I see a CD like that, weaving it together with vocalists. And I mean, I just see the guitar. I've had conversations lately with Frank and Bali and Steve Vai about different things. I mean, you know, you meet them at the NAMM show and you talk to them and you start endorsing companies. I'm starting to get even bigger vision for where I want to go. So one thing I'm thinking about doing, I haven't defined this yet, but I'm thinking about holding a contest on my next CD and inviting someone to submit a guitar solo to go on a song, kind of similar to what Lee Ritenour is doing. I don't have a Berklee scholarship to give away, but I got to start somewhere. So since I see those guys doing that, I'm thinking about talking with some of the companies I work with, the Darius Rings and Carbon Guitars, and seeing what we can come up with. So I just throw that out there to young guitar players that are listening, because I'm very interested in the next generation of guitar players. I mean, my young friend that I mentor in Nashville, who's 16 now, just got his Eagle Scout, and I went down there and he gave me one of these mentor pins, and he's working with my producer on a record now, on a rock record, and I mean, we talk weekly about playing guitars, so I see all that stuff happening. I mean, And well,
and you know what? Make sure that you keep in touch with Gail Johnson, because she and I had breakfast before I left on Saturday morning. Joy was there, and Gail's sister was there. And we were sort of powwowing about how we could make Jazz and Pink an endeavor, an ongoing endeavor. And I thought,
yeah,
you know, you would be really helpful to Gail, and maybe you would be extremely mutually beneficial to each other, because Gail certainly has made some unbelievable inroads. And with this whole Jazz and Pink endeavor, in trying to focus on women who play instruments, you could be a big help to women.
You know, one idea that Anita and I had, because Anita found this great movie recently called The Girls in the Band.
Yeah.
It's a jazz. It's a fantastic. So we've been trying to figure out how to partner and maybe show that movie here at the Center or something, and then have a Jazz and Pink concert, I mean, or something like that, you know, bringing them here and hosting something like that. Gail was fantastic. She came
She's
in
great.
Like the last song Friday night and plugged in her guitar, or as George Duke would call it, the Dookie Stick, you know, and started playing this unbelievable. I was like, oh, wow. Like, I knew she could play, but, like, she was just cut loose playing this really cool scat patch, and I was so taken by it. She was taken by what I was playing, so we just introduced ourselves. Who are you? Who are you? Okay, nice to meet you. You know, trade phone numbers, that sort of thing. But, yeah, I would definitely be interested in that.
And here is somebody else that you need to know. She was on the show, too, Gianna Welling. You might be familiar with that name. She's worked with David Dyson and Benji Parecki, but she's based in Texas. She's got a great CD out, and she's got a vision. She didn't coin this phrase, but this is what she does, Drew. She likes to do music so that the music, doing vocals, they appear to be love songs, but actually they're worship songs for Jesus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So what the expression is that she heard from a producer that she has worked with is bridge music, which is very cool, and I wanted to talk to you about that, because it just seems like there are people that are coming into your world and to my world, and the worlds are colliding in a great way. So I think that people are being put in their different places to help one another go the extra distance, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I used to think for a long time when I was younger, I used to think, well, how can I do this? You know, maybe the bigger community has a monopoly on this, or they don't want me. But they were just waiting for you to approach them in the right way. It's like we have to mature, you know, sort of like a cheese, or, you know, I mean, if you take the steak out too early, it's not going to taste right. So, you know, as I mature and I meet more people in the community, they're excited about the next generation. You know, Rick Braun is like, you know, giving me the thumbs up a few times to say, we need you coming up like that, doing this to help keep it going. You know, they want that. So, I mean, I just encourage new artists to just, if it hasn't happened yet, just to keep playing and practicing and honing your skills. Rod Williams and I have had this conversation a couple of times. He's a fantastic young new saxophone player coming out there. And, you know, I just try to think, I mean, I like to say, partnering with other people and just really doing it together, starting our own mob.
That's so cool. And you mentioned the girls in the band. Another guest that was on recently, Janice Rochelle Littlejohn, she's also directed a movie, and she's trying to get the wherewithal to make sure it gets into the theaters. It's called But Can She Play? And it's focusing on women in jazz who play brass instruments, who normally play the instruments that men play. Let's put it to you that way. So there's another person that if you and she were to get together, she's on Facebook. She does a whole lot of stuff. My God, she's a brilliant woman.
Honestly, the girls can play. I mean, I did a couple weeks ago. I had Paula Atherton as my guest at K2.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We did her tune JD from her CD, and she killed it. She did this, like, six-minute sax solo that was just, I mean, Corey and Chris were going crazy back there playing this, like, Youngstown, you know, skin-tight funk groove. And she could play. She got on the flute. I mean, she's fantastic. But I knew when I first heard her in New York, I was like, wow, she could play. Cindy, the other night at the jam, she was, I mean, yeah, they play. I mean, they were doing their show, Jazz and Pink, and I poked in a little bit. They were playing Block Party, and What is her name?
I was there. Bass player, percussion.
Yeah, the drummer.
What are you talking about?
The drummer for that event.
The drummer.
Pocket.
My gosh, Robin Bramlett was the bass player. Pocket Brown.
Yeah, Pocket. Boy, she was just. I was like, wow. Okay.
Right.
Well, now, I mean, they were just. You know, the guitar came in, and this is part that Kelly played on her CD. But I was just going, wow, the girl's got it going on. Guys need to get their stuff together. I mean, it's, you know, I love that because you get inspired by that. You hear that and go, okay, I would shed, you know. But, I mean, it's all fun. You know, we all love what each other brings, you know. Like when I hear the difference between a Casual or a Kim Waters, you know, or a Steve Cole. That's another one. Really impressed me. When I was in London and I stopped into Pizza Express and Sax Pack was playing, Steve Cole played a solo that just blew my mind.
Yeah.
So beautiful. He did that new In the Arms of an Angel from his new CD.
Yes.
And it was just, oh, I was just, I knew he could play, but, like, I really heard him play that night. He was having a good night. I don't know
well,
what he soaked his reed in, you know, but.
and here's why you relate to that, Drew. It's because you were immersed in different kinds of styles. I mean, you are not a lightweight player. You recognize that. And Paula, and I have been corresponding. Her new album is going to be pretty much a whole lot more straight ahead. And Steve is immersed in the classics and also traditional jazz. You
yeah.
resonate with those two artists especially because you understand the other side of the way they play because you can do it yourself.
Yeah, and not everyone knows how. I mean, a lot of guys can do that. When I talked to Nick Colleone about that, he always will say a lot of these smooth jazz guys know how to do that. But unfortunately, sometimes some of these younger players, they haven't quite really studied all that.
Right.
They just sort of come in and want to be the next Kirk Whalum, you know. But see, Kirk Whalum could go with the Kirk Whalum trio. You could put him up next to Branford Marsalis, and it would be, I mean, he's fine.
Yes.
You know, so I think studying that is important. I always tell musicians, you know, study every style. Study classical if you can. You know, study the fake books. Study the tunes. Study all of those things. And then, at some point, you just have to put your style to it. You can't be anybody else but you. And I've thought about
that
a lot lately as I've had conversations with different people like Wawa, LeGrand. We had some conversations about
That's
different
cool.
things. And at some point, you just have to be you. Say, this is what I bring to the table. This is what I do. And fans like that. You know, they want you to be real and genuine. You know, they enjoy that. So, yeah.
Well, if you're not that way, Drew, you know, you're saying to God, I don't want the gift you gave me. I want to do it my way, essentially, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you just, yeah, there's a whole lot of, I could just go on and on with these young artists. I just read a great blog today about self-promotion. I don't remember the name of this blog guy. Maybe I'll post it in the chat room. But he was talking about why people who don't promote themselves, you know, what the problem is with that. And if you believe in what you're doing, you just have to get out there and put it out there. I'm a big
yeah.
believer in excellence. I'm a big believer in doing it the best you can with the resources you have, understanding all that. But, you know, when I see a lot of these homegrown projects and stuff, I just think, you know, that's why God gave you friends and other people to ask. You know, I don't mind for someone to Facebook me and ask me, Drew, you know, where would you suggest I am happy to share when I can? You know, so, I mean, I think we just have to, you know, I have a lot to say on that, mentoring young artists and what I see happening
oh,
and
yeah.
what I like. And, you know, so
well,
I'm
you
excited
put your
about
money...
what Baltimore is doing. I do sense revival. You know, we really want to be a part of that as much as we can. But I do know sometimes you got to go away from the nest. So,
yeah.
You know, that's been my story. We're getting ready to go to Atlanta, Georgia, well, Marietta, Georgia, the Earl Strand Theater. We're taking a road trip, taking the
Good.
Guys with me. We're going to stop through Nashville at B.B. King's and play.
Good.
It's going to be nice, so.
I'm glad to hear that. That makes me really happy. I wanted to get to a third song, and of course, you know, I'm gravitating to the other side of Drew and My Father's World because it's one of my new favorite songs.
Ah, you know, a lot of people don't understand that tune, or they think I wrote it in memory of my dad. You know, but it's actually a hymn, and I really love hymns. So
yeah.
I really wanted to do this really scaled back. Tune just piano and guitar. Eric and I did this in the studio together. He was just at the keyboard controller, and I was at the guitar, and we just played. And whatever we caught, we caught. You know, we did about 6 takes or something, and we just picked the best one. And I think, you know, very little production to it.
Yeah, the only thing that I would request from the song is that it's longer, because it's not even 3 minutes, but I wanted to share the song because it just puts the rest of Spin Cycle in focus, and there's a whole different, you know, many different kinds of moments on the CD, but this was the moment that made you get the lump in your throat.
Oh, well, thank you. It was just, I really wanted to do something scaled back, and I just basically played the melody. I said, this is where I'm going with it. And Eric, you put what you want behind it. And he said, well, maybe we could have this intro. You know, it's great in the studio. You're just working it out. And the producer, Bill, is in there, the engineer. Yeah, I like that. And what if you tried this? And I just had a moment. And honestly, I pretended I was Larry Carlton or something. You know, just try to get in a different frame of mind. And just thought about, you know, what if it was Pat Metheny and Lyle Mays by themselves? You know, what would they play? How would they create? And I just think music should be just music. I mean, just play music.
Well, you sure did hear. This is Drew Davidson in My Father's World from Spin Cycle on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. I think that's the perfect way to end the show. That song was like a prayer. Drew Davidson, My Father's World from Spin Cycle. Drew, it's been such a rush. Didn't the hour fly by?
Oh, yeah. It's just amazing. I love what you're doing. Just, you know, hearing the songs beforehand, hearing all the different genres mixed together, and then hearing the Allman Brothers, I thought, this is a great home for me. I like this.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, look, I was really pushing the hybrid thing with the Allman Brothers, but, you know, I wanted to do something really joyful because the last show that we did, I mean, you know, just with the news, you just have to really try to balance what you hear in the way of news and try to be as positive as you can be, knowing that God's got it in control. Sometimes it's a little hard, but I wanted to make sure that because you were on, you got some really positive vibes. And look at all the people in the chat room, for the love of all that's good and holy.
Yeah, that's fantastic. A lot of beautiful people in the chat room.
Yeah, how about that? Folks who really wanted to hear you, which is wonderful. And when's the next time we can do that? When's the next time we can hear you?
Well, locally, that would be the Towson Town Festival, Saturday and Sunday. Sunday, now this is cool. Sunday, my fan club is sponsoring the whole stage. So I'm taking over the whole Sunday afternoon, and I'm having Mark Paul play, and I'm having Carenza play, too.
Oh, Carenza, yay!
Carenza's going to do 90 minutes. She and Mark Paul are doing actually Adele together, which is going to be really cool. I'm excited about that. And Carenza and I are going to do some blues together. So that's, I think, like May 5 and 6 maybe is when that is.
Well,
I
put down a date for let's see. I'll check it out. But people can go to
DrewDavidson.com
and find out.
Yep, with an S-E-N, D-A-V-I-D-S-E-N.
Right.
So we're doing that, and then we're off to Marietta, Georgia, and B.B. King's. I'm doing the Martha's Vineyard Jazz Festival with Elon Trautman, Gerald Beasley, and Terry Lynn Carrington. That would be a lot of fun.
And Frederick Yonne.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here we have about 30 seconds left. So we'll see you at Towson Town. God bless you. He's already doing a great job with that. And thank you for the time.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, everyone. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Drew. We'll see you down the road soon.
Yeah, I'll see everybody on Facebook.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, everybody, so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. Pat Bianchi was great. Drew Davidson is great. Thank you again. We'll see you on Tuesday with Kenny Barron on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.